Love is an action and it is an art. Create a strong intention to love. Learn and practice the skills to develop your art of love. Overcome the universal sense of separation through love. Day 20 is the art of love. The art of love. This is based upon a book that I read many, many years ago by Eric Frome, The Art of Loving. I didn't even remember the details. All I remembered was several words that he had used to talk about love, that love is discipline and it's practice and it's patience. And he had a lot of words like that, but I didn't realize in my memory about the depth of his discussion about love, about how we all naturally feel separate and alone, and we're longing to be with another person to fill that loneliness. But the key to real true happiness is to fill that loneliness by loving yourself, by gaining a connection to your own inner self. So today is the art of love. Types of love. There are so many different types of love. In the English language, we just have the word love, but in the Greek language and in other languages, they have different words to describe the nuances of love. So the one type of love that most of us think of when we talk about love is erotic love, passionate, sensual, sexual, desire for intimate physical contact with another person. Then there are all other kinds of love, like parental love. That's a very different kind of love, especially for the mother who gives birth to this being and then is connected and it comes out of her body. And even if it doesn't, the father, it's the seed from his body, but also even if it's an adopted child, or if it's a child that's a foster child, or just a child you're taking care of, just your niece or nephew, or godchild, or just a child you're close to, there's a different feeling when you have that sense of parental love, where you want to take care of and protect that other being. Then there's sibling love. Sometimes that involves a lot of sense of protection. The older sibling really wants to protect the younger one. Or there's competition, so there could be a love-hate feeling. But that's a very different type of love than parental love, and hopefully from erotic love. Some people get all of those types of loves confused, and incest happens, and there's a lot of emotional and physical damage that results because it's confusing in the brain. Someone feels erotic desire or some kind of satisfaction in an inappropriate situation where they should have felt safe and loved and protected. And then there's friendship love. That's also a different kind of love, the kind of love that you feel when you can share yourself openly with another person. You're free to be yourself. You share activities or ideas or intellectual conversations. You share something, and yet you may know each other for a very long time, yet there isn't that strong commitment to taking care of that person and protecting them. It's more like a commitment to understanding each other, being there for each other in a loving way. And then there's animal love. That sometimes surpasses our love for humans because animals, a pet in the house, is so loving and they're so real and obvious. You know when they're happy or sad. You know what they want. They get all excited. They get all sad when they're wanting something and you're not giving it. And they are so obvious and you can't help loving them because they're pure love. Then there's inanimate love. Loving of objects, loving of your car, your boat, your home, your hair, your physical body. You love what that looks like and you want to keep it that way. Loving anything, jewelry, clothing, loving financials, anything that makes an impression in the outer world. inanimate object love. And then there's activity love. Some people love rock climbing, mountain climbing, skiing. I mean, they love it. They get up early. They can't wait to be there. Or they love competition. And they get out there, and it's more important than the intimate love with a partner. And then there's self-love. To me, that is, nothing is more important than self-love. When you love yourself, and I don't mean in an egotistical way where you think you're better than everybody else. When you really love yourself, you're not just loving this person, I, Erica, that's me. I'm not just loving Erica. I'm loving the spirit, the spiritual being that is me in a bigger sense. So it's not just the ego, loving that ego part of myself. It's loving who I am, knowing that my spiritual essence is love. And coming from that space, I know that everyone else's spiritual essence is love, no matter what is appearing in the outside world. And finally, there's a sense of God love. Not everyone feels that. Not everyone has that sense of connection or even that belief. And sometimes the belief is distorted. We go to God just to save us from something, to help us through a problem. But it's really more communing with that higher essence of the universe, aligning yourself with the powers, the forces of the universe, and trusting in it. And amazing things happen when you get into that space of openness to the energies surrounding you and willingness to accept what comes. So love is not being loved and being lovable by being successful and powerful and rich, or by being sexy and seductive and beautiful and adorable and youthful and smiling all the time. It's not about winning friends and influencing people. Love is not having the right person to love or to be loved by. It's not about being able to win over the most socially desirable male or female according to the current standards in your culture and time, and a person who wants and desires you in spite of your flaws and deficits. This is not what love is. It may be a piece. It may be what attracts you originally to someone. Love is not falling in love. Falling in love, that's why they call it falling. It's like you're temporarily insane. You're temporarily exhilarated and excited and passionate, and there's this sudden, intense intimacy, and you think it's always going to be like that. You reveal so much, and you learn so much about the other person, and there's a sexual consummation. You complete the act, and you feel the pleasure afterwards, and the oxytocin is flowing. What happens when you feel such intense passion of falling in love? It reveals just how lonely you really were before this momentous time. So if you come into love and you get all that passion because you were so lonely before, as you get used to this other person and you start to see who the real person is, your feelings will dissipate. That phase of that passionate love phase just fades. There's only so much time that it lasts, unless you constantly have a chance of losing the person. And that constant fear of losing and anxiety can keep you in a state of passion much longer. But eventually, especially when you feel you have the person and you can relax, there's a sense of disappointment. It's never quite as exciting as the dream was. There may be boredom. You might have antagonism. You start having some hostility, some ways that they're not doing things the way you want. Sometimes there's betrayal. There's abuse. Abuse can take many forms. It can be emotional, just subtle put-downs. You can be abusing someone by praising other people And this person feels inadequate just because someone else was praised and they weren't. By neglect or abandonment, love is not falling in love, and it's not all that aftermath. Love is an art. It's an art, and that requires a development of a series of skills and a mindset and a willingness to do the work that it takes. Love is an art. It requires learning and knowledge, effort. We don't think of love requiring effort, practice, and skill development. If love is just a matter of luck, that one falls into love by chance, then you might as well just say, there's nothing that I can do, and just wait and hope and dream. But there is something you can do. You can't control who you meet and when you meet another person, but there are things you can do. Love as an art involves expanding one's capacity to be loving, to be the love you're looking for, learning how to stand in love rather than falling down into some kind of love. Stand in a space where you provide love, you offer love, you are love, and you're able to receive love. Mastering the theory of love and the practice of love. Self-awareness. Self-awareness involves awareness of your aloneness and separateness that is part of the human condition. We're born into the world and we cry. We're alone, even though we have these parents here, because we're scared and we don't know what we're coming into. And we die alone. Nobody can die for us or do it for us. They can be with us. They can say soothing words as we're taking our last breath, but we die alone. So your helplessness before the forces of nature without reunion by love is the source of some of our deepest, most painful emotions, shame, guilt, and intense anxiety. Your deepest need is to overcome separateness. An absolute failure of your ability to overcome separateness results in complete isolation. Even if you're with other people, you feel completely isolated, like nobody understands you, nobody possibly could understand you, nobody gets you. And the result of that complete isolation is insanity. Losing touch with reality and the fact that others are also searching for love and that they could understand you if you can speak in a way that will reach them. The question is how to achieve this union, how to transcend your individual life and find at-one-ment with others and with the world and the universe. The same questions for all of us, but the answers, the choices that we make to solve that question of aloneness, to transcend it, the answers vary. And the answers to the problem of human aloneness and loneliness are limited. There are only a certain number of ways that we can overcome that aloneness. Some cultures do animal worship, and by worshiping that animal, it brings them into a sense of connection. And we can feel that way with our pets, can love them so much that we don't feel alone. Even though they don't answer back and there's no absolute communication, there's an emotional communication with animals. This human sacrifice that has been done for centuries, where people, in believing whatever their belief is, they believe that by sacrificing that human, by murdering that human, I am doing something good for God, for the world, for the universe. Then there's military conquest. When you get together in the military, they join together. Just listen to the way they talk about their group, that their combat group as brothers, as companions. They would kill for each other and die for each other. They're not alone. They're a unit and they're together. Indulgence in luxury. The more luxury you have, you feel as if you're not alone. And you're not alone. Just to maintain the luxury, you have to hire lots of people. So there are a lot of people coming to you and treating you really well, looking up to you because you give them money and because you provide work for them. And then there's ascetic reunification. So many sects that are studying consciousness get into this ascetic attitude where you live on a very hard, you sleep on a hard floor or a hard bed, and you eat just a certain amount of food and all vegetarian and very bland and not exciting and not spicy and not, you don't fill yourself up too much, and you pray and meditate for hours on end, and you don't indulge in luxuries, and you're celibate, and there are all different ways to be ascetic. Another way to overcome that sense of aloneness and loneliness is obsessional work. You work every spare minute, and you focus on work, and our society honors people that work all the time. We're impressed with them because they all often accomplish a lot. They make a lot of money. They provide a lot of jobs. They have a say in the government because they make connections with high-level people. So it is a way for someone to not feel alone. And then there's artistic creation. When we create anything artistic, music, art, writing, anything artistic, we feel one with the artistic creation. It's like giving birth to your creation. And that also goes for an inventor, inventing an object, an item, any kind of creation. And then there's the love of God. Just by praying to God and believing in God and honoring God, we don't feel alone anymore. So many people have been comforted by a sense that there is this higher power that I'm connected to and that I'm being watched over. And finally, there's the love of man or woman, the love of a partner. And in Buddhism, and they say that, you know, you will always be disappointed if you put your love into another human being. But it's also, it can be the most beautiful, rewarding experience of life to truly love another human being with all your heart, totally accepting that person, appreciating that person for who he or she is without wanting them to be anything other than who they are, and loving them and supporting them to be the best of who they are. For what they want. So, ways to escape the separateness. There are several tribes and people through the centuries that have gotten into orgiastic states. When we watch these tribes, we may think it's silly, or we think it's ancient, or it doesn't make any sense. But when you look at it in terms of what it does for the human psyche, it's not so crazy. What it is they get into intense, transitory, periodical, shared communal rituals. And they dance and they drum and they move around and they make noise and they chant. It's a transitory state of exaltation. But they're all doing it together, so no one is alone, and they get higher by being together. And they have communal sexual orgies, and that also brings them to a state of ecstasy. And then what happens is in that whole society, that whole tribal unit or a larger society, they don't feel any anxiety or sense of separateness for a certain amount of time, because it was so fulfilling and they know it's going to happen again, and they look forward to that time when it will happen again. But we don't have those orgiastic cultures anymore. Sometimes a tribal leader will gather people together and bring them into that state, and people get addicted to it and want to stay there, and they give up their homes and their money just to have that. But in general, separation, that separateness in non-orgastic cultures, leads to a lot of different choices for how to cope with that separateness. And one is alcoholism and drug addiction. And we know that is rampant in society at this time. Compulsive sexuality, because sex gives you that feeling of release and connection, even if it's temporary. But when it's compulsive sexuality and you engage in the sexuality, afterwards, there's often a big letdown and you feel depressed and maybe feel ashamed because you know it's not love. You don't feel the love. You may be paying for it. You don't really love that person. You might be cheating on someone. So there is a sense of shame and guilt and embarrassment and even depression afterwards. And then you need more and more and more and more variety and maybe more and more kinkiness. And workaholism, working so hard that you really don't have to deal with that sense of being alone. I know when I have a project, it really makes a difference to be involved in a project. Nothing else matters, and you don't worry about whether there are people around or not. Another thing is risk-taking. When you're out on the edge, climbing a mountain, climbing to the highest peak, first of all, they work together. You have to have a few people helping for mountain climbing, but you are taking a risk. And there's such an excitement to it and such a proving of what you're capable of that you don't feel alone during that time. And then another way that people escape from that sense of loneliness is by joining a gang. You join a group, and it may not be a positive choice that that gang makes. It could be violent. It could be harming society. But when you belong to a group, you're no longer alone. You're part of something bigger than yourself. And it's too bad that humans get into gangs and groups with negative consequences, because if they use that same energy to get into a group to do something positive for the world, so much good can come out of that. And bullies, you don't feel alone when you're bullying someone else because you feel better than them and you feel connected to the other people around who look up to you as the bully. So there's a sense of pride, whereas the victim of the bully feels very alone because no one is able to help and no one can understand and they feel worthless. So it is so important to understand that sense of separateness that is pervasive in the human condition. That is why we all have a desire for interpersonal fusion. It's the most fundamental passion we have. Failure actually means insanity and destruction of who we are. If we can't fuse with anybody or connect with anybody, we self-destruct, or we go out and destroy others. Immature love is when you lose yourself in that symbiotic union. You just lose yourself, and you don't care about who you are anymore. You're just one with the other person. So if the other person leaves or changes or wants to do something else, you can't tolerate it because it's losing yourself. Mature love, you preserve your own integrity in the union. So yes, you get into that union, you feel that beautiful feeling. You know, sometimes you fuse where you are temporarily letting go of sense of self, but you always come back to that true sense of who you are. You do your own activities, you make your own choices, and you leave the other person the freedom to be who they are. Love is an action, not a passive emotion. It can only be practiced in freedom, standing in love, not falling for another in love. Love is primarily giving, not receiving, and it is also important to receive. An exploiter sees deprivation and giving up something when they love. There's always the sense they have to get something and get more than they give. A marketer gives only in exchange for receiving. So they will only give as long as they know they're receiving. So it's always a barter, give and take. And they calculate it. It has to be fair and even. A lover who really is a true loving being sees giving as the highest expression of living, no matter what the other person is giving in return, because you trust that if you do not receive it from this other person, you will receive it from somewhere else. The basic elements of love are care, working toward helping love grow, caring about what the other person needs and wants and desires to help them have more love and develop. Responsibility, response to the other person's needs, desires, and wants, and a desire to fulfill if and when you can. Respect, seeing and helping the other to grow and expand and feel respect for their capabilities. And knowledge, concern for the other person's needs, and knowledge of what those needs are or might be, and concern to help that person get and receive and have what they truly desire. Male-female polarity creates love. Polarity creates love. Even if it's with two males or two females, there's a sense of polarity, there's a big difference. A polarized union of male and female, or male and female energies, penetrating energy and receiving energy. This polarity in nature is the basic of love. Unresolved separateness, without that union of polarities, blocks love. The lover and the beloved. Never, in sooth, does the lover seek without being sought by his beloved. When the lightning of love has shot into this heart, know that there is love in that heart. When love of God waxes in thy heart, beyond any doubt, God hath love for thee. No sound of clapping comes from one hand without the other hand. Divine wisdom is destiny and decree. Made us lovers of one another because of that foreordainment. Every part of the world is paired with its mate. In the view of the wise, heaven is man and earth is woman. Earth fosters what heaven lets fall. When earth lacks heat, heaven sends it. When she has lost her freshness and moisture, heaven restores it. Heaven goes on his rounds. Like a husband foraging for the wife's sake, and earth is busy with housewiferies. She attends to births and suckling that which she bears. Regard earth and heaven as endowed with intelligence, since they do the work of intelligent beings. Unless these twain taste pleasure from one another, why are they creeping together like sweethearts? Without the earth, how should flower and tree blossom? What then would heaven's water and heat produce? As God put desire in man and woman to the end, that the world should be preserved by their union, so hath he implanted in every part of existence the desire for another part. Day and night are enemies outwardly, yet both serve one purpose, each in love with the other, for the sake of perfecting their mutual work. Without night, the nature of man would receive no income, so there would be nothing for day to spend. This beautiful poem was written by Rumi, Muslim poet and mystic, centuries ago. Practice the art of love. Develop patience and humility, concentration, the courage that you need, discipline, activity. Be sensitive to yourself, but overcome your narcissism. Develop rational faith and have supreme concern for yourself and for all living beings. It's not about how much you do, but how much love you put into what you do that counts. From Mother Teresa. This 30-day love challenge is serious and life-changing. You will see amazing results if you seriously intend to expand your loving and love fearlessly and openly. As we close, remember, start each day focused on love. In every moment, feel the love. End each day realizing love, and every day repeat the love pledge. Start each day focused on love. In every moment ask, what would love do now for me and for my future, knowing all that I do brings me closer or further from love. End each day realizing the power of love. Review the moments you turned away from love. Review the moments you shared your love freely, and review the moments you felt loved by others. The love pledge. Say this silently to yourself, and then out loud, looking in the mirror if you can. Every day I develop greater awareness and communication, acceptance and forgiveness, compassion and tenderness, love, trust, and respect for myself and for others. Love agenda for today. In your love habits journal, write about my art of loving. Which traits and practices do you already have? Choose one trait or more that you know you can improve and start working on immediately. And then please share your love trait or traits in the Facebook group. I'm so excited that you've been sharing this journey with me, and I look forward to talking again in the next lesson.